All right, John Cass, Chicago Tribune columnist, has a podcast right here on WGN Radio called The Chicago Way. Last weekend, he wrote a piece about police families under siege, and that was quite impactful to me, and asked John to join us tonight. John, how are you?
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing okay, pal. Thank you for spending some time with us tonight. You know, this column that you wrote last weekend, and let me set this up a little bit, really struck a chord with me. I live in a Chicago neighborhood surrounded by city workers, first responders. I have very good friends. One of my best friends of 35 years is a Chicago police officer. There are now over 800,000 sworn police officers across America. And without a doubt, I mean, the protests that happened to George Floyd, it was a criminal act. It was murder. The officer should be prosecuted absolutely to the fullest extent of the law.
That's what I called it right after it happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The protests against racial injustice had to be had. The conversation has to get moving. But there are so many dedicated, hardworking, honest policemen and women out there that are feeling under siege right now, and rightfully so.
Yeah, they're, you know, in Chicago. I live in Chicago in a three flat, and a lot of city workers around me, too. And you cannot speak to the media, you know, as a police officer, you can't speak to the media.
Right.
So what's happened is that their families are under incredible pressure. You know, they see what's happening to their, you know, the police officer, man or woman, and their family, and the kids are terrified, the spouse is terrified, and I thought I'd give them a voice. So I went on Facebook, asked people to, you know, if you're married to a police officer, what do you want them to have for Father's Day? And the responses were overwhelming, David. And I'm still getting them. People want, you know, they want, I could write like 10 columns in a row with all these letters. Wow. And comments. Yeah.
I've seen the article, the column reposted so many times with comments underneath them as well. There's a couple of these, and I want to talk about a few of them. You spoke to somebody named Dan, who's married to a police officer. Share a little bit about that story.
Danny is a tool slinger, and his wife is a police officer, and the kids are, you know, I asked him, what do you want for Father's Day? And he said, usually I go out, you know, on Father's Day, maybe go do some golfing, drink some beer. He said, I just want my wife to sleep and rest. Yeah. It was just heartbreaking. He told me, you know, just before the Floyd thing, Floyd murder, the police killing, if you want to be technical about it, he's the man's charged with murder. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, police officers and first responders, people loved us. It was all that, you know, the COVID thing. Thanks to our first responders. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for helping us through COVID. And then that happened. And it's like been a cultural, it's like a whiplash effect on them, on their families. I asked them about the kids, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, in their mind, she's a hero, he said, but it's difficult to explain racial justice to little children, racial injustice to little children. They just want their mom home.
Right.
And people on the other side, Dave, people who don't like the police, who really can't stand the police, who want them defunded, you know, they responded as well to me saying, well, yeah, it's about time that they felt the same way that we do. And yeah, I get that. I get the racial injustice part. I get the history of police brutality part.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that was. I mean, not everybody. I mean, even no matter if you're the worst person in the world, the cops are going to come and try to help you. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's my experience.
Yeah, and I mean these men and women too. I mean, As I said, there's 800,000 sworn police officers, local police officers across the country. And, you know, yeah, like every profession, you're going to have some that really suck at their job. But you also have a massive majority that risk their lives every day. And I know a lot of these, especially the Chicago Police Department right now, for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, they're working 12, 15, 18-hour shifts every day, no day off, you know, and really saying nothing. They're standing down in all of this and just supporting and making sure as much as possible that they can keep the peace. But one of the people you talked to, I'm going to read this. The next story comes from a veteran female Chicago police officer with 20 years on the job. Her husband's also a police officer. They have two children. Her father was a cop. Her brother's a cop. Her uncle and aunt are retired police officers. And these are just some of the honest things they are saying right now. You wonder how far you'll go to even make an arrest now, because that's where we are with all this.
Yeah. I mean, well, what do you say to, what does your buddy tell you? Your friend that's a police officer,
well,
what does he tell you?
I mean, he's going to, he said, you know, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be all in and do my job. But there's going to be moments that I will question five, you know, and maybe that's the point of all this, is I'm going to question 500 times over if I'm even going to make an arrest right now. I mean, you know, how do you do your job when you're so beaten down? You're there to protect. You're obviously, like you said, you're going to help even the worst of the worst people get into a better place, but you might not do some of the things that are right as a police officer because you're afraid of any consequences of even making an arrest at this point.
What happened, let me tell you a quick story. It happened a couple of years ago now, maybe 16, 18 months ago. A female police officer, Chicago sergeant, was in a confrontation with a guy who was, you know, stoned or he's high on drugs. And they got, you know, part of the job is putting your hands on people. They don't want you to put your hands on them. That's what people have to understand. That's the job, really. And so she was trying to arrest him, and they got to fighting. And she was afraid that she'd lose her job. And that fear of losing her job, combined with what else was going on, she was put on her back and was savagely beaten almost to death. And I think she's still on disability and probably will be for quite some time.
Yeah.
But people don't, you know, they don't think of that.
No.
They don't think of their families. And then that family becomes resentful, and they don't like, you know, they're mad at the media, they're mad at the politicians, and these people just have to go out and do their job with all this going on. I wouldn't do it. Would you?
It'd be tough. It'd be tough to go every day. I mean, the motivation to go do your job after you're just, you know, spit on and thrown things at. And, you know, again, there's so many police officers that are out there. And again, I am not minimizing, and I know you aren't either, minimizing the tragedies that have happened over the last 30 days. And I'm not minimizing anything with the protests or anything like that. It's just there's really good people out there trying to do their jobs, and they do it really well every day. And I just don't know how they get out of bed in the morning and do their job, given what has happened. There's another quote that you had in here from somebody. It said, some friends avoid us. We're not friends anymore. They don't understand. And this is what you said earlier. Even if you're the worst of the worst, my husband will help you because that's his job. He doesn't run. You get to run and hide behind your signs and slogans, but where are you when he's out there with the dead bodies? When another child is hit with a gang bullet? You know, it's just making it really difficult to do the job that needs to be had. I mean, last weekend, 104 shot, 15 fatally last weekend, including 5 children.
It's out of control, David.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like, you know, people want to say gun violence. I understand the politics. But to me, most of it is gang violence. It is street gangs. Gun violence, when you call it gun violence, it's easier on the police, on the politicians to do that. But we got street gangs and broke street gangs, not like when I was a kid or you were kids. You know, there were like big street gangs like the Vice Lords and Disciples. Now they're all broken up into cliques. And not all of this is about drugs. It's just about insults and stupid stuff, and they start shooting each other.
Yeah.
But we have, I think we're at like 25 or 30% up on shootings and murders. And yeah. And maybe like 170 shootings in June.
Yeah, its shootings are up 30%, homicides are up 25%. Overall crime, just the basic burglaries, robberies are in a 20-year low, but the shootings and the homicides are up 30%, 25%. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane. We're talking to John Cass from the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump into the conversation, even if you're a police officer, don't want to give your name, that's cool too. 312-981-7200. More with John Cass after this on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Chicago Tribune columnist John Cass, also host of the Chicago Way here on WGN Radio. We're talking about the police department all over the country feeling under siege, of course, right now in some unprecedented times. John, one of the officers you converse with said, over the past few weeks, I've been stunned. And I got this, actually. I'm going to tell you something else. I talked to some social distancing dinner I did last Saturday, and it's a captain of the police department said almost the same thing to me. I've been stunned by the silence of some people and humbled by the people who I didn't think were a big presence in our lives saying, I know your husband, your wife is a police officer. What is there something I can do for you? And she said all police families have breaking hearts right now, and most people can't even hear us.
Well, that's why I did. That's why I wrote the column, to give them a voice, because it, you know, everyone. I just thought it. Look, I thought everyone was getting their say, right? Mm-hmm. Except those families.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe others might do something, write something. They didn't. I'm sorry about that, but she was struck, and she got a little emotional talking about the people bringing food to the district, you know, the station, for the police. They, people are just trying to show, some people are just trying to show appreciation, and others, you know, police officers out, like Dan's wife was out getting lunch, and she was getting lunch, and people are screaming F you at her while she's trying to eat her lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever try to, you're trying to have a, eat a hot dog or a chili dog and somebody's screaming F you at you?
Well,
it's just insane.
You know what? In our neighborhood, there was probably 15 police officers, you know, on the corner of our neighborhood when the protests were happening. And, then there were police officers I didn't recognize from my neighborhood. I think they put everybody every place. There was no consistency really to where everyone
right.
went. But when they started their shift at 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, you ate and drank whatever you had on you. Even if you were on for 15 hours, 12 hours, whatever. If you had a bag of chips in your pocket and a bottle of water, that was your meal pretty much all day, because you really weren't moving from, especially at the height of all this. And, you know, we brought sandwiches, we brought water, we brought whatever to the corner to do that. And I think people were surprised, you know, because they've just been so attacked right now. I'm going to take a call. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. You got some thoughts on not only the cops, you know, have some issues to be held accountable, but politicians as well?
Absolutely. Hey, John, great article, by the way. I really enjoyed it. I was a cop out in California. Retired in 07. And this has been going on for the poor families. My wife hated every day that I was on the job. And I mean, in 22 years, I think I had my gun out of my holster twice. We moved back to Illinois for whatever God knows reason, thinking it would be better for our kids. And it's even worse. You know, and I remember sitting in the living room the night McDonald was killed, and hearing the circumstances, and the first thing I said to my wife is, this guy's going to jail. Yeah. And supposedly there's video of it. Well, I mean, I don't even remember how long it took for the Emanuel administration to bring out the video, but they were just as complicit in all of that as that poor cop.
Absolutely.
And they hung him out to dry. He didn't do the job right, I guarantee you that.
Well, he pulled the gun and fired 16 shots at a kid.
Exactly. That should have never happened.
Snapped.
Right, absolutely. Yes, that should have never happened.
On the video. Rahm sat
right,
on the
exactly.
video until he got elected.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
exactly.
Politicians have... You know what? What do you think of this? What about that Bobby Rush's popcorn thing? You know,
oh, that's the most asinine thing I've seen. Why would the cops show up at his office if they weren't told to be there? Was my first question. And it's
they
like
were
for us,
told.
Exactly. You know, but like for us back there when AIDS first got going, it's when I first got to the San Francisco Police Department. And I remember standing out on the steps of City Hall one morning, and this woman come up, and we were all trying to guard City Hall because they said they were going to burn it down and all the rest of this stuff. And this woman walked up, and she had a mason jar, and she said it was filled with AIDS-tainted blood. And I told her if she even moved that vial, I was going to shoot her. And my sergeant walked up, and he just tapped me on the shoulder. He said, take two steps backwards. I said, not a problem. She cocks her arm. She's going to be dead before she knows what hit her. And those are the days we can't, you know, you can't even defend yourself anymore. These poor guys today, I remember when I first started, sergeants used to tell us, if you get hit, you better be using your stick. If they pull a knife, you better have your gun out. They can't do that anymore. They're afraid to defend themselves. That poor female that got beat up 18 months, 2 years ago, I remember that case. She should have never, number one, she was by herself. But it should have never happened. She should have never had the fear of taking somebody into custody and let herself get into that position.
Yeah.
And that's because the politicians won't back up the cops.
Yeah, part of the problem.
Another example of politicians not backing up the cops. That case that we were talking about, the Bobby Rush's popcorn drama, where the police officers were allegedly sleeping and they ate Bobby Rush's popcorn. That was a big deal. Well, you know what, David, at that news conference that the mayor, and I liked the mayor, I supported her, but at that news conference that she had, they had all these, you know, bosses coming up, ripping on their cops. The commander of the district was not there. And the lieutenant, who apparently, you know, called the shots on that, you know, where they should be, was not there. And that kind of thing builds with police families and builds with police officers.
Yeah, there's got to be some level of support for them
in some
situation. John, again, Jim, thanks for the call. John, again, it was a really, again, really impactful article for me just knowing so many of these families as well, and I hope more than we would expect read that and took it to heart, because you know, we gotta remember these.
And, one thing that we all do too much of is paint everyone with a broad brush. You know, we get into our tribes and our groups and our parties and our, you know, and it's us versus them and them versus us, and really we're all, you know, just. We're God's children, we're all sinners, and we're individuals, and we all make mistakes, and we all try to redeem ourselves one way or another. So I just think that by painting everybody with a broad brush, which I try not to do at work in my column, I just think maybe we could all, you know, like that officer said, take a step back.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. You know? Absolutely. John, thanks again, pal. I appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thanks, buddy.
Right. Be well. Have a good weekend. John Cass from the Chicago Tribune.